Hi, friends. I'm Leanine Heiss, and this is episode 97 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Well, it's week 5 of COVID-19 stay at home. Most of us never imagined our school years would end this way. We pray for schools, and we never plan to homeschool. And while this territory may be uncharted for us, we praise our Heavenly Father that He knows exactly what He's doing, and we can trust Him. Our guest today is Dr. Michelle Bangson, and our conversation will likely be a great balm for your heart. Dr. Michelle has done the hard work of wrestling anxiety down and has key insights for us. I know some of you may be in heartbreaking situations right now, and we want to hold you up in prayer. Feel free to email us your prayer requests at podcasts@momsinprayer.org, and we would consider it an honor to pray for you right now. Show notes for this episode, number 97, include all the scriptures that we discussed today, and they can be found on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. So just relax and listen close. Now, let's welcome our guests to the show. Well, Dr. Michelle Bangson, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
It is my joy and delight to be here with you today.
Friend, it looks sunny behind you, which is great because there is snow where I am, and it is so good to have you here. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Happily. I'm Dr. Michelle Bangson. By day, I'm a board-certified clinical neuropsychologist, so I treat patients with a variety of different disorders, ranging from depression or anxiety to ADHD, concussion, or dementia. And I'm an author and a speaker. But my most proud accomplishment is being mom to 2 boys and wife to my husband of 33 years.
Oh, what a wonderful family and opening for us. I was wondering this morning, when does a little girl decide she wants to grow up and become a mental health expert? How did that happen in your life?
That's funny because when I was really little, I wanted to be a writer.
Mm.
And then I kind of put that on the shelf. And it was about junior high when I started participating as a peer counselor that I realized, you know what? I like to encourage people. That's what I need to look at doing. And I was told, of course, that you can't make a living as a writer. So I kind of put that on the shelf and pursued my medical training so that I could help people, give them encouragement and direction and support. And then full circle, then I had the opportunity to start writing about the same type of topics that I help patients with.
Mm. Well, just in God's sovereign hand, your book came to me. I'm so grateful that we have these ideas as kids, and sometimes the Lord lets them like crescendo together, you know? So writer and mental health specialist are both things that you get to do, but the Lord put your book, Breaking Anxiety's Grip, into my hand, and it just felt like for such a time as this.
Absolutely. You know, anxiety is considered the common cold of mental illness, meaning we have really come to accept anxiety as part of our life and tolerate it just like we tolerate the winter cold. You know, the winter months hit, we get sick, and we're like, well, of course, it's wintertime, as if there's nothing we can do about it. And we've come to treat worry, fear, and anxiety the same way. But what I have seen just in the past 2 weeks is that it has blossomed and mushroomed. And even my calm, cool, collected friends who I would have previously said don't struggle with anxiety are starting to show that that's coming to the surface.
Yeah, I think this is a really important time. And you and I had a discussion before we came on whether we were going to talk about COVID-19 or not. And the truth is that I really think that we need to talk about anxiety, and we need people to lay it over top of what is happening right now. I'm so glad that you said that worry, anxiety, and fear are considered the common cold, because when I read that in your book, I was like, that makes it feel normal and like no big deal. But when you're experiencing fear, worry, and anxiety, it does not feel like any normal day.
It does not feel normal. And if anything, you tend to feel like you're the only one who's experiencing this. And so we don't talk about it very openly because we don't want to be ashamed of what we're feeling. But the reality is that God brought up worry, fear, and anxiety hundreds of times in the Bible. And I don't think He would have done that if he didn't know, look, this is going to be something you all are going to struggle with. And I want you to know there's a better way. But I recognize this is going to be your tendency as humans to struggle with this. And we do.
Well, is there any way that you can differentiate for us the difference between fear and anxiety? Are there lines between them?
There are. Fear is that bodily response to an imminent or future event. That's what gives us the fight or flight. So back in the days where men had to hunt and gather for their food, fear was healthy to let them know it's time to run away from that saber-toothed tiger. But anxiety is the emotional response to potential future events. It comes about because we're anticipating what could come. But worry is our tendency to think about events that may or may not ever happen. And worry causes anxiety to come into play. Because we worry, we think, in psychology, we call it ruminating. We start to obsess over things. Like right now with COVID-19, that's what we're seeing with the toilet paper shortage. People have worried and spun so out of control, out of fear that I won't have the basic necessities that I need. So we become anxious, and that rules our heart. And the problem with that is when we allow ourselves to go down that slippery slope of worry, fear, and anxiety, we lose our peace.
And so not only are we losing peace, which I totally want to talk about, but first I want to talk about that anxiety is terrible for us. Like for our bodies, this has a consequence for us, and we will pay the price for foregoing peace, right?
We will. It impacts everything from muscle tension, migraine headaches, high blood pressure. We see the physical results of allowing our bodies to take on worry, fear, and anxiety. That's why God says don't do it. Because the longer we allow ourselves to be in a place where we're worried or anxious or afraid, the more our body responds. Chemically, when we're anxious, our brain drops cortisol into our system. And God gave us cortisol for that fight or flight. It was meant just to be a momentary burst to get us out of danger. But as we worry and become anxious, it's a constant cortisol drip, which means our brain is constantly telling our body, it's a state of emergency, be prepared to react. And that's not healthy. That's why God says, be still. That's why he gives us the Sabbath to rest, to try to reset that and get rid of that cortisol. We end up with so many health conditions as a result. Chronic fatigue comes from that.
So you say anxiety is forfeiting peace. Are those opposites for us?
I always say that peace is the antithesis of worry, fear, and anxiety. If we don't have worry, fear, and anxiety, we will naturally be more peaceful. I saw it in myself this week. I saw it in my teenager this week. Once we got past that initial, oh, we're not going back to life normal as we're accustomed to, then we kind of settled in and went, okay, well, we're safe. We're together. We're at the house together. And we said, you know what? We're not going to worry about this. This did not take God by surprise. So let's just rest in that. And we regained our peace once we adopted that perspective.
That's so important. Peace is a gift from God that we have to accept. I mean, he talks about it over and over and over in scripture, but saying you need to have peace to yourself is like strong-arming something to happen. It just doesn't. I mean, I've tried that. It's not like that. You don't just like will yourself into peace, right?
No, you don't. But while you don't will yourself into peace, it is a choice. Jesus said, I have come to give you this gift of peace. It's a gift that the world doesn't give. Well, it's a little bit like on Christmas morning, we can have beautifully wrapped presents under the tree, but if our family members don't receive them and open it, it really does nobody any good. And I say it's a choice because we can choose to focus on our circumstances, which will often lead us into worry, fear, and anxiety.
Right.
Or we can focus on God, and that will lead us back to peace.
Okay, so there was a time not so long ago that I was in a season of busy. And as a mom, you can totally relate to that. I mean, you have two kids, you know. So I just was like, we are so busy. We're so busy. We're so busy. And I said it during that stage over and over and over again to myself. And finally, I realized I was saying that to other people. And it's like the Holy Spirit just put this check in me. And he was like, okay, you're practicing busy because you're doing that over and over and over again. You're saying that out loud to yourself. What if you practice peace instead? And so that was kind of like the rule that came over me was, you know what? Okay, so we're practicing frantic or worry, or right now it's social media, right? Like we're practicing the news. What if we practice peace? And I know that you take that apart, practicing peace. Tell me, just real practically, what are some ways that we can practice peace right now?
Part of that begins with prayer. When we notice that frantic busy coming on, and I've lived that stage too. In fact, I wore it like a badge of honor. And I think so many of us do.
Yeah.
And so when we recognize worry, fear, and anxiety are starting to creep back in, just stop right in the moment and pray. But what I like to recommend is that we pray back scripture to God, because those are the most powerful prayers. And we know those prayers are in his will because he spoke it. So it could sound something like this: Father, I'm so sorry. I'm starting to feel anxious about X, Y, and Z, but you have said you don't give us that spirit of fear. You give us power and love and sound mind. So I'm going to choose to receive those from you right now. That will set you on such a different course. It's almost like you're slamming the door on the face of worry, fear, and anxiety and going, okay, peace, come back in. So it always starts with prayer. But another thing that I do is I make sure that I've got scriptures posted everywhere that remind me of that peace that God offers. You know, John 14:27, John 16:33. There's so many that talk about, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, don't be worried. I've come to give you peace. The reason why I post them is because I started this a long time ago when I was going through a season of depression. And I realized if I would write them out, it was almost like I was writing it on my heart.
Yeah.
And then when I would see it, I would speak it out loud three times. I'd read that scripture verse three times every time I saw it. And the reason I did that is because God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the enemy of our soul is not going to believe that we're convinced until we are. So the more we speak it, the more it becomes part of us. And the more the Holy Spirit will remind us in the future when we start to go down that track of worry, fear, and anxiety. But another practical thing that I always tell my clients, and my kids have learned this too, is we have a choice and we can speak back to anxiety. We can tell it, no, you don't get to rule me. God's peace does. We're basically telling the spirit of fear, bug off. I'm not going to allow you to rule me anymore. So talk back to it. I teach my kids to do this. And now they remind me. They'll go, Mom, might want to say no to that anxiety. Because even though I've dealt with it as a clinician for 30 years, and I've really, after writing Breaking Anxiety Script, I have a much better handle on it. The enemy always comes back to where our weaknesses are and tries to get in again. And so I constantly have to go, no, you don't get to be the boss of me today.
Oh, man. I could so relate to that. I wrote a book on fear, Brave Moms, Brave Kids. And so it's just kind of like, well, I majored in that. I do not want to go back to that. So like we've done our time in that. It's time to move on and employ what we know. And peace is a fruit of the spirit inside of us. So if we're experiencing diminished peace, we need to like ask the Holy Spirit to grow that inside us and fan that into a flame, right?
And he will do that. He will honor that. And I speak scripture out loud frequently through the day. And another thing that I've learned that helps me get in a place of peace and stay in a place of peace is when I'm going about my day, whether it's I'm folding laundry or I'm cooking dinner, I like to have praise and worship music playing. When my husband was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer many years ago, and we've been through this between him and I five times now with cancer, we decided that we were going to intentionally decide what influence came into our home.
Yeah.
And we stopped watching the evening news. We stopped getting the newspaper. We stopped scrolling our social media feeds. And we would turn on praise and worship music instead, because if we want an update of what's going on in the country, we can find it at a moment's notice. That is not an issue. But we have to be intentional about praise and worship, because God says he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we invite him into our day, then we're going to naturally be in peace much easier. The other night, as we were quarantined for the COVID, we were sitting around as a family playing cards. And while we did, we had praise and worship music playing. And the three of us erupted into, well, I would call it more of a joyful noise than music. But it just changed the atmosphere.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we're not acknowledging that there are really serious things going on. I mean, Christians have their feet firmly in this world, too. It means that we're not succumbing to that fear and anxiety, right?
Right. You know, my husband and I are in the immune compromised category because we're both struggling with cancer. So it would be easy to get really panicked about this state that our world is in right now. But we've decided we will be cautious and we will pray for wisdom, and then we'll trust God, because being anxious is just going to make us stressed and give us muscle tension and take us down that path of what if, what if, what if. God knows what if. Right. I don't have to know what if. He's already got the answer.
Okay, so what do we say, Dr. Michelle, are the roots of anxiety? So, I mean, there's sometimes where we know this is a problem and I've seen it in my family of origin, right? Like, there are some elements of anxiety that are difficult to break and overcome, right?
Well, there are, because if there's a family member who has anxiety or depression or so many other disorders, there's an increased likelihood that going down the family tree, other people will experience it as well. I grew up in a household with a mother who was depressed the entire time I was growing up, but I also have many family members who are anxious. So there is that genetic component, that's true. But the thing is that we also have to recognize that when you're raised in a home with someone who's struggling with anxiety, you're going to be raised by someone who looks through an anxious lens. So they model anxious behavior. You know, a mom who tends to be anxious is more likely to say things to her kids like, oh, don't touch that, you might get sick. That's modeling anxious behavior. So the children then learn to be anxious. But if we really want to go back to the root of this, Lee, the Bible is very clear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. God's saying, I didn't give you worry, fear, and anxiety. That comes from the enemy of your soul, the very one who started tinkering with Eve in the garden. He's up to the same tricks that he was back then. He employed anxiety tactics with her so that she would be afraid. If you don't eat of this fruit, you'll never be like God. And then she was in shame because she succumbed to that temptation.
Okay. You say worry creeps, anxiety seeps, and crisis explodes. I love that because it gave me something really visual. So let's talk about worry creeping and how we can recognize that as moms in our home during this time.
I say worry creeps because it just kind of slips in unnoticed. I would dare say most of us don't even realize how often we say, oh, I'm just worried that, or I'm just worried about, and it rolls off our tongue. It gives it an opportunity then to come into our home life. It just kind of creeps in, maybe because the bank account was low this week or because we can't get toilet paper. There's so many reasons, but it just kind of creeps in there and goes unnoticed until it has a chance to grow. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned in the beginning, when we were talking about the difference between worry, fear, and anxiety, the more we worry and think on these things that might happen, that opens the door to anxiety. And I say anxiety seeps because once it comes in, if it's left unchecked, anxiety will start to take over more and more and more areas of our life. We've got to deal with it, or it will just encompass more. It will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And crises explode because we might be doing just fine. But then a crisis like COVID-19 or anything else, job loss, a health concern, prodigal child, whatever, when that crisis hits, it hits and we were not prepared for it. So it just explodes. And then all of a sudden, we slip down that slippery slope into worry, fear, and anxiety, and everything becomes this major catastrophe. Mm. When that happens, we've totally lost our peace without even having any forewarning.
I think it's really important that we address the ways that we start to identify worry and anxiety and its presence in our home. And obviously, the first thing to do is pray that the Lord reveals that to us, right? Makes us aware of the things that we're speaking aloud into our home, but also to recognize the symptoms maybe showing up in our kids as well. What should we look for in our children during these times?
There's lots of different ways it can present. And if you've got more than one child, don't be surprised if it presents differently in each child. But if you start noticing some increased irritability or agitation or maybe clinging behavior or even isolating, those can all be different signs that there might be some anxiety. You might also notice changes in appetite, either eating too much or eating too little, changes in their sleep patterns, sleeping too much or too little. And you might notice that they are more hypervigilant, meaning that they're spending more time really paying attention to what you're saying and what you're doing, because our kids get their clues from us.
Yeah.
And so they're watching, are mom and dad okay? And if they pick up that we're anxious, then they feel like they've got a reason to be anxious. It's a little bit like, my husband is not normally a crier, but if he cries, then I feel like now I really got something to worry about,
right?
Because he's normally calm. So our kids do the same thing. They read where we're coming. If they're asking a lot of questions, or if they're trying to really draw on some old memories, mom, do you remember when? And that's not their normal experience. They're trying to get back to a place where they felt safe, where they felt calm. But let's have an honest discussion with them. All of our kids are feeling this in some way, shape, or form. Yesterday, I had a long conversation with my teenager. How is it impacting you and your peers? And it's better to open the door for that dialogue, because then they can let all their concerns out and we can address them in an honest way.
That's smart. So good. Okay, so I don't want to put a Band-Aid on this. Sometimes there are real times to be concerned and to seek medical help for us or for our kids. So what are the signs that this has gone past something that we maybe should deal with just at home, and instead when we should seek out counseling or medical attention?
You know, look at things like, how have I been sleeping? Am I getting enough rest? How have I been eating? Have I been binging on junk food or food that's not healthy? Have I been getting enough exercise? Am I getting outside? Those are simple things that we can do to see if anything changes, if it improves. But if you continue to experience anxiety, worry, fear for more than a few weeks, that might be an appropriate time just to meet with your medical professional, your general internist, your PCP. And the reason why I say go there first, as opposed to a mental health professional, is because there are some medical conditions that will bring about symptoms that you would find in anxiety, like a racing pulse, difficulty breathing, pain in your body. Those can all be signs and symptoms of anxiety, but they can also be signs and symptoms of a medical condition. So let's rule out a medical condition first. And if there's nothing going on, then it would be appropriate to talk with a mental health professional. Sometimes we just need someone to hold our hand to help get us through the crisis, so that then we can start doing whatever work needs to be done so that this doesn't rule our lives.
Yeah. And it can seem like anxiety and even depression, which I promise our listeners we're going to have you back to talk about, because we need to talk about that. That plays a role in most moms' life at one period of time or another. But both of us can declare with confidence that anxiety and depression are not the end of the road for you. There is hope and peace on the other side, and actually freedom from that for both of us, right?
There is. And I've experienced it with both conditions, but it's so prevalent. Just like we call anxiety the common cold of mental illness, depression, now that we're in 2020, depression is actually our greatest epidemic worldwide, greater than cancer, heart disease, and AIDS put together. And as moms, we carry a lot of the burden for our families. And a lot of moms are suffering in silence, but they don't have to. There is help, hope, and healing available.
I want to talk about that coming up. But Dr. Michelle, today, could you pray for the mom who's like, I've got my kids with me 24/7 right now, and I'm battling anxiety?
Absolutely. Father God, I just thank you that you are sovereign and that nothing takes you by surprise. Not COVID-19, not job loss, not health conditions, nothing takes you by surprise. And you declare in your word that you know the plans you have for each of us to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. And so I just pray for the moms out there listening whose worlds have been turned upside down. Father, it would be so easy for us to go down that slope into worry, fear, and anxiety. But you've said, do not fear. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be anxious for nothing because you care for us. Help that mom to know that you see her, you love her, you are for her, and you will help her and her family get through this. Father, help her to know that worry, fear, and anxiety are not her portion, but your peace is, and it's available for the asking. And that when we face these difficult, uncertain circumstances, you tell us to ask you for wisdom, and you will lavish it upon us. Lavish your wisdom on each mom as she navigates the concerns of her family, as she tends to each child with a different personality and a different temperament. Father, show her the way that she should go so that she can walk in it. We thank you that you love us, that you are for us, that you are so faithful that you will get us through each one of our trials and difficulties. Lord, we love you, and we look forward to seeing how you will take this worry, fear, and anxiety, kick it to the curb, and instead insert your peace. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Friend, the only thing we have to fear right now is God alone. Proverbs 3:5-6 is a great reminder for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Let's paper our mind with scripture right now and not give an inch to fear and anxiety. We at Moms in Prayer stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Hey, if you're able, would you consider a donation to Moms in Prayer during this time? We're a nonprofit organization, which means we operate off the faithful giving of others. Moms in Prayer has the top awards for financial responsibility and stewardship, so it's easy to give a tax-deductible gift by jumping on the website or texting the word STEWARD to 41444. That's the word STEWARD to the number 41444. We love you, and we need you. Moms are making the difference. Moms just like you. See you next week.